We're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, sorry we're jumping off a little bit late here this morning. Had a few technical difficulties. The world's on fire. The culture's disintegrating. Hey, pass the salt. We had some techno issues here. So we are, I look down at my clock. It's rolling about 6 minutes after seven. We got rolling a little bit late. I don't know whether the computer froze up. I don't know whether it's the modem. I don't know what. We're here now. Welcome. Crazy world, man. Crazy, crazy world. We're back, happily back. Michelle and I and Lexi back from a whirlwind trip. Whirlwind trip to Wisconsin. Rob Pugh's Wisconsin Christian News. What do we call that thing? Brain's dead. Wisconsin Christian News media event. It was great. Had some tremendous speakers. Met some tremendous folks. And it's always good to get out and get around. What would be the word I would use? Woke people? Room full of woke people. I did some just unbelievable presentations. I come back and I'm a little bit, you would think, wouldn't you, friends? You would think that at this time in this place where we are in America, where a lot of you watching the show probably have been made fun of by your friends and neighbors and family, being preppers and all that stuff, and yet to open up your eyes and look around you and see that literally prepping is breaking forth right in front of our very eyes is amazing to watch. Somebody just put a message up there. I'm going to check what it says. Michael's camera, the program when the segment is available. Okay, I'll do that. I don't even know what that means. We'll try to do it. But prepping is breaking out all across the world, isn't it? Prepping. I'm not laughing at preppers anymore. Toilet paper, everything, and cooler heads need to prevail. Although I'm telling you, the problem that I'm going to make this kind of a flea flicker Monday, because I know a lot of you have been sitting out there all weekend, ruminating, stewing, baking slowly, and everything that's going on around us. And I know that you probably have some questions or some solutions or some angles that maybe we haven't really figured out here. So I'm going to open that up a little bit. I want to paint a little bit of a picture before we get too deep in it. I want to thank Rob. As I said, I want to thank Rob for, Lord, do I have to say that again? Okay. Oh, Lord. There are no pastors. We have this wonderful, wonderful event. The coronavirus. Corona, by the way, means crown. Crown. Seems to me there's a battle over who's king. I'll get to that here in a second. But all this stuff is breaking loose right in front of us. Rob Pugh invites into town these wonderful, wonderful speakers. It was just fabulous. And there aren't any pastors in the room. No pastors in the room. Now I can ask you what's that all about? I can ask you that, and you would say, well, Larry would tell me they're not really pastors, it's a satanic social club. I get that. Somebody else would pack in and say they're not real leaders, and I would get that. But no pastors.
We had Pastor Mike, Coach. We had Pastor Mike.
Well, Pastor Mike Spaulding, sure, he's there. I don't mean to make light of it, Rob. We come to Wisconsin to bring this information to the people of Wisconsin, and no pastors show. And then what do we see happen? I don't know what it's like where you are, okay? I don't know what it's like. I really don't. But yesterday was declared by the President of the United States a national day of prayer. And how many churches did not hold services yesterday? And I've made this statement, and I hate to keep doing it because it feels like I spend all my time bashing pastors. I'm not trying to bash pastors. At the time when we need great, 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 great leadership, we're not getting it, folks. We don't get great leadership. Now listen, by all this hunkering down and what do they call that? Oh, I got a dead brain here this morning. By keeping all of us isolated and away from me. Friends, do you know this? Do you know that if they tell you not to go to church, which they did yesterday, on the quarantine, thanks, Polly, yesterday, do you know people still go places? The fact that you canceled church, do you really think that the fact that you would cancel church is protecting the people? Do you really believe that? At this time, when the world is watching and wondering what's going on, the church can't. T.D. Jakes didn't have church. Joel Osteen didn't have church. What does that say to the world? I know what it says to the world, that we're good, law-abiding Christians. The president calls for a national day of prayer. And all of the church, even the never-Trumper pastors and never-Trumper Christians could have gotten involved. Said they canceled church. It's like I live in a... Somebody out there tell me why we canceled church. Please, I'm going to stop a minute. It's Flea Flicker Friday. Somebody tell me why. Hang on. Why church was empty and Walmart was full. Church was empty and Walmart was full. I thought we were supposed to not be around large gatherings, right? So the church is empty and Walmart is full. Why? Because all those people who would have gone to church went to Walmart to get toilet paper or whatever. What if they tell us we can't go to church because we're going to hang around a bunch of people, why do we end up hanging around a bunch of people? Now, what happens here in Ohio, it happened yesterday. Our governor, Michael DeWine, who, by the way, don't ever forget this, Michael DeWine was part of the Keating Six. He was one of John McCain's best friends. John McCain, Lindsey Graham, that's who Mike DeWine is. Michael DeWine is the chief state deep stater, if there ever was one. And yesterday, Michael DeWine, last night at 9 o'clock, the Ohio Department of Health, whatever the heck that means, said no more bars open, restaurants open, none open. The only way that you can have any type of food is if it is carry out. You can do carry out, but you cannot go sit down at Texas Roadhouse and eat a steak. Cannot do that. Now, I don't know what you guys think about that, but this is getting in really, really, really dangerous territory. I promised this was going to be open line Monday, but I got to go to Rob Pugh. Rob, what's your take on it? What's your take on the reaction? By the way, probably 150, 200 people that came to the event. Should have been 1,000, should have been 10,000 come and hear what's going on and what we need to do. But Rob, what's your take, Rob, this morning?
Well, you know, Coach, we had probably 50 calls, maybe 75 calls, people wondering if our event was still going on or if we were canceling. And you know, we have not been given a spirit of fear, and we were doing it no matter what, unless tomorrow was going to shut down the facility. And, you know, so there were a lot of people that came, but
Rob, what's your take on the pastors? I don't want to hear about the people who are afraid to come. What's your take on the pastors won't get involved? You sent out 4,000 notices to the pastors. You invited 4,000 pastors to come to this event. Run through those names again, Rob. Who did you have yesterday? Who did you have this weekend? You had Mike Spaulding. You had Jamie Waldron. You had Coach Dave. You had Curtis Bowers. You have Lexi Hall. You had Robert Klaus spoke a little bit. Who am I forgetting? Oh, you had Jake McCauley.
Really? David Arthur.
David Arthur. really, really good, pertinent, powerful information. And you sent notice to 4,000 pastors. And how many came up?
I also invited, you know, I told them all of these speakers, some of the most sought after speakers around the country are
Usama Dakdok.
They're all available to speak at your church on Sunday, too. You know, and out of all those emails I sent, I got two responses, and they were both, please take me off your mailing list. That's so all up? I got. So
what's up, Rob? What's up? What do you think?
They don't want it. They don't want it. So
do their people want
it? We always do. We go to the people. We gotta do an end run around the pastors and take the information directly to the people.
Pastor Dale, help us out, Pastor Dale. What are we lay people missing? What am I missing, Dale? What's Rob missing? What do you think, man?
Oh, I don't think he's missing anything. I think that's a wonderful thing. It's like to me, it's almost like a Twilight Zone where you got a football team that has a horrible coach, but the GM refuses to fire the coach. Well, you go around the coach and you talk to the players and you get to the players. They're the ones that are actually out on the field anyway, making plays. So let's make sure they get the right play in their hands.
But Dale, you're not the typical pastor. Let's be honest.
Oh, coach.
Can you understand that mentality, Dale? Why they wouldn't want to come and get more information? Well, I mean, Dale, hang on here. Yeah. A second. You understand that this thing is being held as this stuff is hitting. And wouldn't you think, golly, I think maybe I need to go there and get some information because this might be affecting my people here soon. Dale, wouldn't they think that way?
It depends on what kind of pastors we're talking about. Joel Osteen, heck no. He's probably more of a millionaire now because he's selling his book on the side of the road, Your Best Wife Now.
Well, let's take Joel Osteen out of the picture. Let's talk about the average guy with a congregation of 100 people. Why wouldn't he come? Can somebody help me? Rob, why wouldn't he come? Why wouldn't they come?
They don't want the truth. They want donuts and cupcakes and praise and worship.
I think they don't think you have the truth. I think they think you're a conspiracy theorist. I think they think you are fighting the church. That's what I think. I think they have the truth.
Tinfoil hat people, yeah. That's who we are.
Somebody else, help me out.
Listen. Hey, Coach, I got a question for everybody. All the scholars on here, you got some great Bible men. I need one verse, just one, where Jesus told us to go hunker down in the bunker. I just want one, Coach.
I think a lot of these pastors are fearful. They're just fearful that they're going to lose people. All right, you know, they'll preach on fear and courageous, but they don't practice it.
But help me out here a second, there, Glenn.
Coach, it's a liability.
Isn't this what they're teaching their people is coming? Isn't this what they teach their people are coming? Famine and pestilence and end time. Isn't this what they're – and they don't come? They don't come to get any information to take to their people? I'm wondering, as I'm driving home yesterday, how many different sermons those guys could have picked up if they'd have just come. They'd had a year's worth of sermons if they'd have just come.
Coach, this was our 18th year of doing this conference, and they've never come. So I didn't expect them to come. So,
but Rob, this is more real than it's ever been, though. This situation, see, is more real than we've ever seen. You can almost touch it. You can feel a lockdown, can't you? Can't you? Columbus, Ohio. Listen to me. No restaurants open in Columbus in the state of Ohio. No restaurants open. None. You with me? Now, this, if I'm a pastor, I'm thinking, if I don't know, I say, man, I gotta figure something out here. If you think this is the end of the, remember, okay, I'll go there. Remember, we've been laughing about FEMA camps. How long we've been laughing about FEMA camps, folks?
That's it, Coach. It's coming.
And how far down the road are we now towards FEMA camps when the governor of Ohio went on the TV and beyond his power, as near as I can tell, closed down the food industry.
But won't shut abortion clinics down.
Won't, oh, Dale, that's a preaching. Won't shut abortion clinics down. They're slaughtering them. But they shut. Yep, you understand the financial, folks. I'm all over the place this morning. I'm sorry. Lord, just calm me down here a little bit. Direct me. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, we didn't get the pastors to come, but we did get the police called on us. So it was a successful event. So
that's awesome.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You know, most pastors wouldn't have picked up any sermons there because they don't need to anymore. They all follow. All the ones that joined the CUIC, those 11, well, I guess it's 14 denominations now, they all follow the same three-year liturgy. In other words, for every 3 years, they cycle through this liturgy book that gives them their sermon topic and points to make during that sermon. There's no more Holy Spirit given information into, quote, that calls itself the church out there, because it's all prescripted and it runs on a three-year cycle.
You know, Larry, I agree with that. I do. But listen, folks, listen to me. If I'm pastoring a church and I see this stuff coming down the road, I'm thinking, you know, Sunday, my people are going to have some questions. They're going to have some questions. I better do some research because I need to give them some hope and some direction. And where am I going to find this information? Oh, you got these seven speakers? They might have. I want to have some answers for my people. What's going on?
Coach, it's what you said from the beginning when you said the word corona. It actually can mean glowing crown. And you've got all these big time. Listen, my church that I go to is non-denominational. All right. It's an independent church. But all the denominationals, I'm telling you what it is, Coach. That event we were doing Friday night, it started Saturday morning. We were set up Friday night in the bed. 11:40, we get the text. They shut it down. There'd have been 50,000 people coming to that event. And do you know why they shut it down? Because of liability. They didn't want to get sued if somebody caught the virus. Brother, I'm telling you, it's all these pastors, these denominational pastors, have been told by headquarters to shut her down. The people we were staying with in Valdosta, Georgia, his wife's brother is a big-time Southern Baptist Convention man. His church holds thousands of people, and she was showing me the video of her brother standing there. We'll not have any church on Sunday. You know, it's all about that. They bow to mammon, Coach.
Here's what I think. I think that's part of it, Alan, but I think it's also another part. I heard a World Harvest Church closed down, and I heard something sort of like, you ready? We want to be good, law-abiding citizens. There we go.
But it's not a law.
It's not a law. It's not a law. Now, listen, folks. If they have to close down churches, then they ought to say nobody's allowed to go anywhere. By the way, that's coming.
Hey, that's coming. My wife called me last night and said the CDC now recommends no gathering over 50 people. You thought the big mega churches were first? What's going to happen now to the 100? I told my wife, I said, hoorah, we're still good. We're open. We had people from other churches come.
Larry, so hang on. Go ahead, Jack.
Nine people will be revisiting the Romans 13 this morning, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I'm thinking of having church here Sunday morning, by the way, on the screen. Hey, Larry. So, Larry, it's serious, right? I'm not making light of the virus. I'm not making light of it. I think it's serious. I think it's spreading. I think a lot of people are probably going to die. But see, they can't stop the spread of it if they don't make us stay in our own houses. That's coming, man. That's coming, all right? That is coming. That's coming.
Coach,
it's already here.
I agree with you. It's coming. But the reason that they have these quarantines and these, quote, lockdowns is very simple. The way this virus is spread is person to person, either contact or after the fact contact, like you touch the doorknob after they touch the doorknob before the virus has a chance to die, which might be 3 or more days in the case of a doorknob. Okay. Uh-huh. And things like that. And stopping the social contact is the only way to stop the spread of that virus. And they can't stop the spread of it now because it's out there. It's out of the box. Right. They don't have everybody identified, so they can't just segregate those people.
That's right.
The only thing they can do now, and this is what's happening around the world, they can try to slow the spread of the virus down enough so that it doesn't overwhelm the medical care facilities. Because if this virus spreads as fast as it's capable of spreading, there's going to be thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people sick that need extensive medical care that the system's not going to be able to give it to them all at once. So they're going to try to slow it down so that the system will be able to handle the ones that need the highest level of care in a timely manner. That's their only option at this point, is to slow it down. And we, you know, they want to help save people's lives at this point. The rest of it, where it started from, what are they going to try to do after this thing is over? What are their motives? And I could care less what their motives are. Try to save some people's lives. That's my point.
I say this, Larry. I say that we're going to be surprised that the calamitous result financially of shutting everything down. Now, I don't worship money, but I'm a smart enough guy to know that we are looking at unprecedented financial, consequences to what they are doing. And what's their solution? Their solution is, well, we'll get the government to print more money. We'll give unemployment benefits now, immediate unemployment benefits to the restaurant workers. We'll dig into the government and we'll give out more and more and more money because some of these businesses, they're never coming back. Some of these businesses are never coming back. Never coming back. Folks, they're never coming back. And we see that the government's going to try to bail out the airline industry. Really? Really? You're going to be able to do that? We're going to bail out the restaurant industry? Really? Some of the good news is maybe they'll close down the public schools, never to reopen again. What an opportunity for churches to see this and begin homeschooling co-ops. Although you can't do that. Gatherings of more than 50. Churches, you can't do that. You see, people could learn right now that they can, in fact, educate their own children. Wouldn't that be awesome if the educational system had a collapse? Wouldn't that be something?
Absolutely. The garbage that they are teaching and have been teaching our children. We want to say God's got this. Well, this is how God handles that stuff. And you know what? It's not the way we want it. But look how he shut it all down, Coach. All right. Families are good. Quarantine the families to the family core again. Get to know your kids.
Dale. See what is that? We let them take our entertainment. We let them take responsibility for our entertainment. Let's take it back. Let's take it all back.
Vinny. And took away the entertainment. No sports on TV, baby. No idols.
Amen, brother. Amen. Exactly.
Yeah, and as Roger Weaver put on his Facebook yesterday, he said, 2 days, no sports. He says, I looked on the couch and there's this woman there. Apparently, she's my wife. She seems okay.
Yeah. There's a lot of good things going on, folks. But listen, I'm just telling you, from my standpoint, the financial issue is worse than the virus. It's worse than the virus, in my opinion. And I believe a lot of people are probably going to die from it. I believe that. And I'm not making light of that. But folks, the financial consequences are going to be so great. But isn't that good? Maybe people will turn back to the Lord. Maybe the church will understand what's going on. And it's not all about money. And that And I was thinking about my son-in-law or two son-in-laws who, you know, they own Jimmy John's. And I saw, no food. And they said, delivery. You can do deliveries and carry outs. I thought, oh, maybe their business will boom then because they do delivery. Yeah. Maybe they'll boom. I don't know. We got a lot of kids home alone. Or a lot of boy. Do you see?
Hey, Coach, I wonder what's all the boys in clubs.
Go ahead, Jack. I'm sorry.
I wonder if they'll close all the boys and girls clubs.
I don't know. See here again. Let me double back here a second. You guys have any idea what the powerful force behind this whole thing? Whatever it is, whether it's a nefarious, that means bad, whether it's a bad force or a good force, whatever. Do you understand the power somebody has to shut down the NCAA tournament, March Madness? Understand that hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars involved with that. And not a pushback, kickback from the NCAA? Cancel the basketball, the NBA basketball season, when they're coming into the playoffs and the highest amount of revenues come in, to shut that thing down, to not open Major League Baseball, the crushing of all of these idols. Hang on a minute. I keep asking myself, what do they know that we don't know? What evidence were they able to take to the NCAA, who is a billion-dollar industry? What evidence did it take to those guys and say, sorry, listen, look at this here. We can't have the tournament. What evidence do they have that we aren't aware of? Because, folks, this isn't just happening over a flu. And I've been making light of it, and I've been calling it the flu because I believe it is a deadly flu. I'll grant that. What did they present to the NCAA that they immediately said, oh, my goodness, we have got to cancel? Anybody have an idea on that?
Dagon's fallen, Coach. Dagon's fell on his face again.
Well, it's obviously a threatening control, lawsuits. If they're worried about people's health, they want to depopulate the world by a few billion. This should be the ideal way to accomplish their goals. But it's not. They could care less about people's lives. They just want to control people. Eventually, they'll say no paper currency because viruses, live on the currency. One world government, a microchip economics. It's all about controlling people. It's not about saving lives.
I understand that. But how did they get those guys from the NCAA into a room, going into right at the beginning of March Madness? They're every face in America is watching March Madness. How did they get them in a room and convince them to cancel that tournament? They know something we don't know. That's all I know. There's something they're not telling us.
Church. You tell a church that 30,000 people don't congregate, that's asinine. How are they going to enforce it? They can't. Only thing they can do is threaten lawsuits or something like that. They can't arrest all these millions of people. These people are brain dead, sitting around doing nothing but giving in to the government's dictates. It's stupid.
Exactly.
Coach, my wife said she's leaving out the door to take care of a patient. She said, Coach and Rob Pugh would have had Franklin Graham as a guest speaker. They would have came.
Maybe. But I get you. Listen, I want you to know this, folks. Are you listening to me? Please listen to me. I called, can I say that name? Yeah, I can. I spoke to Steve Quayle yesterday. Steve Quayle is a precious metals dealer. And I was watching a video I was listening to a video yesterday as we're coming home from Wisconsin. About the finances, the dollar, they're pumped in. The Fed said they're going to put they're putting into accounts 1.5 trillion digits. They call it money. They're not printing money. They're putting digits. 1.5 trillion right now. That's going on. Now I'm smart enough to think, well, man, at some point, gold and silver has got to, some point. This dollar's getting cheap. This paper dollar, it's getting cheaper every day. At some point, gold and silver is going to matter. And I'm listening to these guys talking about gold and silver's gone down. It's gone down right now. So what's going on? And I called Quayle and I said, you know, hey, if a guy, hey, seems like a good time to buy. Can I get some silver? I'm just, you know what he told me? This coach, there's no gold and silver. You can't get it. There isn't. You, folks, you can't buy gold and silver. Why can't you buy gold and silver? Because there isn't any. Everybody's already bought it. And right now, they're holding the price of gold and silver down. Are you ready for this? Oh, my Lord. Because the world is flooded with what they call paper gold. Paper silver. In other words,
bingo.
Here, you got a piece of paper that says that you
own certificate. 12,
you own 12 ounces of gold, and it's just a piece of paper. And so the banks have a lot of those certificates. So the banks are doing everything they can to what they call short sale. They bet on silver and gold. So they're doing everything they can to drive down the price of gold and silver. So that's not worth anything. Look, look at it. It's not worth it. Stock market's gone high. Gold and silver's gone down. You don't want gold and silver. So they're doing everything they can to scare you out of gold and silver because they want to buy it up.
Coach,
they can't cover the paper orders they have. They can't cover them. It's like calling Amazon and buying something. And you say, I bought it, but it hadn't been delivered. I shipped something to Gary Dunlap. Gary Dunlap wanted to, he was going to go to an event and he wanted to use a poster and some cards. And I shipped all of that to Gary Dunlap and it never showed up at Gary Dunlap's. And so where is it? Gary, where is it? Gary, I don't know where it is. Hey, that's gold and silver. You got it, but you don't have it. You got paper that says you have it. Gary, I have the receipt that said I mailed it, but I don't have it. Folks, that's what's going on. Steve Quayle said you cannot buy gold or silver. In fact, I talked to a friend of mine that you would know well, Roger Weaver, yesterday on the way home. He said he went to the silver, he went to get some gold and silver, and there wasn't any.
Well, you can get gold and silver. It's just 3 week shipment delays.
No, I know you can get it.
I know Robert can get it. It's the same place I've been getting it.
Robert, have you spoken to him in the last 48 hours?
Yeah. Says a 3 week delay shipment.
Well, I'll give you phone numbers after the show.
Okay, cool.
Well, the problem with that is what's going to happen between now and 3 weeks.
Yes.
Yeah. You pay your money for it and you still don't have it, right?
Okay. We've been trying to say this when the idea is that, well, we're going to get this reset. We're going to go back to the gold standard. They already know this. This is already a setup. They're over a year ago, there were 500 gold certificates per ounce of gold above ground. 500.
Jack, for every piece of gold there was, every ounce of gold, 500 people had paper saying they owned it. Is that right?
That's right.
Folks, let that sink in.
Fractional reserve gold. It's fractional reserve dollars. They're not stupid. They knew this was coming. This is part of the plan. The gold, they've already prostituted the gold.
Wow. I don't even know how I got on that, but I know that this whole thing is about finances. This entire coronavirus is about finances.
Absolutely, Coach.
And
the problem, too, about gold is they can come and arrest you if you possess gold like they did in the 30s. Unless it's numismatic collectibles, they can come and steal your gold or put you in jail.
Uh-huh. Good luck.
They won't have to put me in jail for my paper dollars, though, will they? Folks, there's something really, really big happening right now. And so we are seeing it right now. It's being hidden and triggered by a virus, but it's not about a virus. It's not about, yes, some people are going to die. Yes. But the virus is the vehicle to execute a deeper plan than we even have any idea. And so pastors won't even come to hear about it. They won't even come to hear. Curtis Bowers came and played the video at Rob's event. Curtis Bowers, Grinding America Down. I think that's the name of it. Grinding America Down. And it's a fab. If you haven't seen it, it's fabulous. And it goes, Curtis did a great job of showing how they've attacked every one of the institutions, who it was that attacked them, shows everything. And I'm thinking, boy, this place ought to be filled with about 1,000 pastors so that they can understand what's happened. No, they're not worried about that. They're not worried about that. End's coming. The end time's coming.
Coach,
I'm going to be here. I don't need to know that stuff. And in the meantime, the people are going to be destroyed. Because the scripture says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge is why they're destroyed. Somebody else, come on in. Listen, I know I'm kind of all over the place. I understand that. But folks, this is all over the place. This is all over the place. Everywhere. And one of the things that's happening, from my opinion, this is what's going on. We see people went out to the grocery stores and they're hoarding. And they went out and they finally began to prep. But how long do you think they prepped? How long? Knowing the way we think, they bought enough food to last them 3 days, 4 days maybe. They still don't get the long-term idea of what's going on. They hoard toilet paper. Toilet paper. Now, I don't know, but I understand the need for toilet paper. But when you go to the store and you're concerned about toilet paper, when maybe 30 days from now, you might be in a total lockdown, meaning you're not allowed to go to the store.
Hey, Coach.
You can't eat toilet paper.
Coach.
Yeah, like that. Hey. So we have a little bit of an awakening, but not an understanding. We don't have an understanding. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, I had a conversation with someone at the feed store the other day about the toilet paper. And I told her, well, you have to have a reason to use the toilet paper.
You have to eat, in other words, right?
Yeah, they don't know what outhouse is and what Lyme does.
Yeah. Amen.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Could it be that historically God has always, before he brings great judgment, there's got to be apostasy. And couldn't it be that the delusion that he has sent out, for the instance, for all the pastors, why they're not interested in any of this is because they're under a delusion, a lying spirit has went out and it has everyone at its as its master, and until they repent, they can't even see the way out, Coach. That's just where our nation is. It's where the church is, and right. And this is where judgment comes in. It is what brings people out of bondage. We need judgment, Coach.
We do, folks. Can anybody explain to me? I'm serious as a judge. Well. Judges aren't even very serious anymore. I'm serious as can be. Why would anyone cancel church service? In the midst, folks, this is in the midst of a tragedy, a crisis, in the midst of a crisis. Cancel church?
Because they're all
big believers in church and big believers in getting together with your Christian family, your church family. Cancel church? Well, here's what we know. Joel Osteen doesn't have a church family. He doesn't know any of those people. They don't know each other. That ain't a church family.
Exactly.
He doesn't have a church family. He doesn't know any of those people. He doesn't know. They pay money, and they say they go to church there. That's not a church family. How can you imagine? Wouldn't it seem to you that on Sunday you would have had a gathering of as many people as you can to say, okay, who needs help here? Who's prepared here? Who has the ability to do this? Is there anybody that can do this? Do we know where we can get water? Does anybody know? Wouldn't you think you would get the people together at the beginning of the crisis to be prepared for the long-term consequences of the crisis? But the church doesn't even see they play a role. Hey, Dale, I always go back to when we go to do hurricane relief and tornado relief. It's always the same. The churches are closed. The pastors are gone, with exception. There's always some. But the truth is, the church does not see itself as a minister to the community. They don't see it. They see it as themselves. They minister to themselves. They don't see. Oh, we miss opportunities.
Coach, hey, Coach, that's because churches aren't churches. Buildings are buildings, Coach. We are the church.
I get that. The satanic social clubs. I get that. But we've got to see the mentality. If we don't understand, see, I get so frustrated because I ask always, like when I'm sitting up there with Rob, And I know how hard Rob worked to put that together. And having done some of those things, how difficult it is to get everything to work properly and to get there and then say, where is everybody? I understand that frustration. Anyway, it's not a money thing. Rob doesn't care about the money and care about that. He wants to get the information out to people, and they don't come. Why don't they come? Why don't they come? And then we see church in the midst of the calamity. All you got to do is look at Walmart, and Walmart is packed with people panicking, and the church doesn't even open.
Hey, Coach.
Oh, my Lord.
Coach, put a cross on top of the Walmart.
Yeah, might as well. Might as well.
Well, churches obey the government. God says don't forsake the assembling, and that's exactly what they're doing. I know they're social clubs, but then again, they can repent. God can show up. The church, I'm agree with you, Coach. If we had 300,000 churches show up, get a little repentance, they can't arrest 40 million people.
Well, why would they arrest them? Why would arrest them?
Well, they couldn't arrest them. All they do is threat to arrest them. And we fall for their fault. We fall for their fake threats and hide in their closet.
If I owned a Texas Roadhouse, I would open that sucker up and dare them to close me down. Dare them to come and do it. If I owned all the Texas Roadhouses, I don't know how many there are in the Columbus area. It's probably 3 or 4 or 5 of them. If I was Mr. Texas Roadhouse, I'd say, stay open, boys. Stay open. We got your back. No, but we want to give the appearance. See, here's what the politicians want to do, in my opinion. Larry, they either know it's much more dangerous. Dangerous, I'm talking about deadly, 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 deadly. Millions of people are going to die. They either have some information that we don't have, or, as somebody said earlier, they want to have at least been on the right side of it when it's all over. We operated on the side of caution. That's what they want to be able to say. Reckless. They don't want to appear to have a reckless faith. They don't want to appear to have a reckless gospel. Say, we will not cower. We will not hide. We will not be manipulated by the government. We're the church. We're the body of Christ. We're going to stand up, and we're going to let our light so shine before men that it's going to glorify our Father in heaven. This is our time. This is our place. This is our moment. Forget it, man. Closing the churches. You can watch it online. Tune in and watch online. Jeez.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Jeff.
Just two things. One, New Beginnings was open yesterday. And you know, Pastor Bill, he's not going to shut down no matter what the government says. But did you hear Mike DeWine, the statement he made on national TV over the weekend?
I'm afraid to. No.
Supposedly, 3,000 people have been infected in the have the virus. Yeah, he said could be over 100,000 just in the state of Ohio. I mean, I sit there thinking, you idiot. You know, it's like, that's what they're doing.
Right? They don't know. Now, I saw this too, Larry. I don't know what you think about this. I'm seeing people who are now saying that it's been here a while. But people have already had it. It affects people differently. But the coronavirus has been here. So we were dealing with the coronavirus back in January and February. We closed down schools locally here. I think it was early February. We closed down schools because of the flu. People were saying it's already been here. It's already here. We haven't been testing for it. We didn't know what it was. But the government's not using it as a thing to scare everybody inside.
Yeah, we got to get out of the context of the government is closing things down. The government is being manipulated. This is way beyond the government. This is not your government attacking you. This is your government responding to what they're being told to do from the power beyond the government.
Okay, let me lighten it up here, man. Jared, pull up what's it, this little thing says deep state. Listen, hey, I want to put this on here for a minute. I can't miss this, okay? I can't miss this. So I'm putting my tinfoil hat on. Right Wing Watch is watching, I'm sure. Chad sent me this morning, and I've seen this from about 4 different people already. So I'm just going to can we have a little bit of fun here a minute? Can we look at a different perspective? Because I keep asking myself, what's going on? What is going on? How can they've canceled the Masters golf tournament? How is the sports world so bowed? What's going on? Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. the man with a gun over there, right? Hey, Jared, there it is. Now, look, hey, folks, I'm going to laugh through this as we read it. If Jared can focus. It's not, okay, that's not high enough. I don't think I do. I mean, I don't think I do. Oh, it doesn't. Maybe I can get it here on my own. Because it popped up on my screen big enough I could read it, Jared. Wait, here, let me try this. Let me hang on, folks, because I'll read it to you. You can laugh along with me as I read it. Okay, here's what it says. Slow computer. It's probably going to – I won't say that. I keep asking myself what's going on. How can they be getting away with this thing? Okay, higher resolution. Golly, it isn't working, is it? Where did I find? Oh, well, oh, doggone it. This would be so much fun, tinfoil hat stuff. Chad said, okay, wait a minute. I got it on my phone. I'll read it to you off my phone. Hang on. God, I got a lot of messages.
And while you're doing that, Coach, Bloomberg was talking about, oh, yeah, we'll pay for colleges. Yeah, who cares? Colleges we can do at home. Hey, Bloomberg, what were you doing? What did you do with that $500 million? You obviously did not waste it on this failed election campaign. I believe, just like the books, it was clandestine payoffs. Just throwing that in.
Here's some information that you won't get, okay? I'm reading this from Chad now, okay? This is what's supposed to be on our screen. Bear with me here a second. This is on somebody's Facebook page. This morning at 4:30 a.m., Prime Minister Justin Trudeau was served a criminal indictment by the U.S. for corporate and financial crimes. Media owners were instructed to historically brainwash everyone that the Prime Minister has coronavirus with his wife and that they won't be leaving their house for a while. Tom Hanks was arrested 48 hours ago for pedophilia and is currently being held in a hotel room in Australia, refusing to fly back to the USA. The next celebrities to go down will be Celine Dion, Madonna, Charles Barkley, Kevin Spacey, all who will claim coronavirus. Italy's airports have been completely shut down as over 80 of the Vatican and financial officials have been served some criminal indictments for financial crimes, pedophilia, child trafficking, sex abuse. We can laugh a lot, right? Tinfoil hat. United Emirates have completed mass arrests of their own royal family and their affiliates. Convicted Hollywood rapist Harvey Weinstein agreed to a deal in exchange for his testimony against hundreds of top Hollywood celebrities and their involvement in the drug business, pedophilia, and child trafficking. And instead of 55-year sentence, he got off with 23. In exchange, he provided testimonies against some of the biggest and most powerful names, including Prince Andrew, Bill Clinton, Joe Biden, Tom Hanks, Oprah, Ellen DeGeneres, Quentin Tarantino, Charlie Sheen, Bob Saget, Kevin Spacey, John Travolta, Steven Spielberg, Podesta, NXIVM, Pizzagate, sex trafficking clubs, and hundreds of more who are directly involved with Jeffrey Epstein. And in exchange for Epstein's testimony, he was allowed to make a deal and to have his suicide faked. CEOs of some of major corporations. Have you seen how many CEOs have quit the last 2 weeks? CEOs of some major world corporations have been indicted, arrested, and some forced to resign all in the last 30 days. CEO of the NBA, Harley Davidson, Gates Foundation, Intel, McDonald's, Caesars Awards, Vatican, Chief of Police, Disney. Approximately 700 to 800 more resignations are coming in the next 3 months. The lab created coronavirus is a cover-up for the mass mandatory vaccination agenda, as well as a covert U.S. intelligence operation that would have ever seen. And this mass 158,000 arrest operation will remove and capture some of the biggest evil and corrupted politicians, celebrities, and CEOs, including potential elites and bankers such as Soros, UN officials, and founders of Greta, Inc. It goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. That's what's going on, really. Now, take it with a grain of salt. Laugh all the way through. I'm just telling you this. There is something bigger going on here than just a virus. The virus is real. It will kill people, but there's something big. Rahm Emanuel said, never let a crisis go to waste. Something's going on. We're being distracted. I think this. I think America will, as we know it, will never be the same. That's what I think. not because of the virus, but because of the things that are happening around it. Somebody come on in there. Robert, you have a good one to read for us? Here's tomorrow, St. Patty's Day. I'm not probably allowed to go out in any parades or anything tomorrow, am I? That virus could be. Hey, time out a minute. The virus has already spread, folks. As Larry said, they're trying to contain it. I'm sure they're trying to contain it. I've been to Houston, Dallas, Wisconsin, wherever. You think I haven't been around the coronavirus? Think I'm not maybe a carrier of the coronavirus? I'm more worried about the consequences, financial, cultural consequences of this. I think this is, watch what I say. God, remember, I was going to read Romans 8 today. I didn't get around to it. Remember this. Scripture says, I got time, didn't I? I didn't start till about 5 after. I got a little bit more time. Good. Hey, Robert, you go ahead and read this while I get ready on Romans 8. Yeah, who was that? Somebody come in?
Yeah, it was me, Coach. I just posted the link to my latest video in the chat, and I'm unabashedly promoting that video because I make zero pennies off of every time it's watched. But the thing is it presents an opportunity in a way that we can push aside the other stuff and we can start concentrating on how to help rebuild our country when this is over. You're right. Our country will never be the same.
Never be the same. It's never going to be the same. Folks, millions of people losing their jobs. Business has gone under, man. Businesses are going to go under. The airlines, it's already struggling. They're probably broke, man. They're probably broke. When I rented my car to drive to Wisconsin, I got the car at the airport. And the guy came in beside me. I got a dollar rental. The guy came in behind me shaking his head. I said, what's up? He said, dude, there are 7 people on my plane. 7 people. Woo, wee, what? And now we see the Delta's canceling. Man, wake up and smell the roses. Go ahead, Robert, March 16th.
Okay. It says, and this really is basically saying the church who has the authority, the power, the Holy Spirit, God power is the only source that's going to fight the God of this world. Until the church rises up, the devil's going to win. So all falls on the church's shoulders. The Lord and his new covenant have come to stay. He is waiting for his children to go and be.
Mm-hmm.
We got to go and be. We got the power, the source, the authority to knock out the devil. We're sitting on our butt doing nothing out of fear. Here's a little irony in the law of truth. We simply can't let Jesus be the head of the church and allow it to function by the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't go to seminary, and he didn't get to get a degree. He never wrote a book on church growth. He was too caught up in casting out demons rather than collecting tithes.
Amen.
He insisted on ministering to the outcast rather than inviting them into a comfortable church. Jesus didn't win friends and influence people. Rather, he ministered to the rejects and even suggested to his most loyal followers to hit the road if his way was too rough for them.
That's right.
He was concerned with dead religious rituals and taboos, not wearing religious labels and tattoos. He kept telling people that they had to bear their cross rather than merely wear one. We can't deal with this Jesus.
Wow, geez.
He was too spirit-led to be purpose-driven. He kept speaking about eternal life hereafter rather than selling the best life now. The biblical Jesus just didn't fit in, and he doesn't now. We need a new kind of Jesus. Consequently, today we see religious idols emerging, preaching another Jesus, and the contemporary Christian masses are loving it so. The Apostle Paul had to address this madness. If one comes and preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully. We have popular religious experts building a decapitated church, disconnected from her head, Jesus Christ, and devoid of his Holy Spirit and a purpose. A contemporary popular churchianity that is unaware that much of contemporary Christianity is mindlessly walking about in utter deception and moral depravity, and I would add with no bravery. The devil is so proud of his accomplishments. However, the true church is rising, and the evil one is paranoid that the Holy Spirit is moving and the true church is overcoming. We just need to get more people to step up to the plate and hit a home run.
Amen. Good one, Robert. Romans 8, real quick. And by the way, folks, listen. Please be in prayer for our brother, Todd Barham. It's a good day for Todd. As you know, guys, he's been having all those chemotherapy treatments and all that. He's been cancer-free for over a year, and they continue to give him the chemotherapy. But he's been dealing with an infected gallbladder, and they have not been able to do surgery. He's been feeling bad because of the gallbladder, and they haven't been able to do surgery on the gallbladder because his blood counts are down. So they've been giving him medication and all that kind of stuff, but it's been tough. Well, today he gets that thing surgically removed. Praise the Lord. And we believe that Todd Barham's going to start getting better now that they can get that rotten gallbladder out of him. And so just be in prayer for Todd today that during the surgery that it'll go well and that he's going to rise up and be okay on the other side of this thing, because this brother has fought. He has fought a fight, man, and he's got a heart of a warrior and a heart of a servant, and Lord's got a lot of work to do for Todd. So keep Todd in your prayers, okay? I was reading Romans 8 the other day. Jared, go down to about 16. I'm just guessing. This is a place to start off the top of my head. Okay, let's see. Verse 18. Let's start at 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In us. The glory revealed in us. Not around us. In us. For the earnest expectations of the creature waits for the manifestations of the Son of God. Folks, the earnest expectation of the world is waiting for us to show up. The manifestations of the sons of God. That's what the world's waiting for. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Think of that. You get delivered from wickedness into the glorious liberty of children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but we ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen isn't hope. What a man sees, you don't have to hope for if he can see it. You got $5 in your hand, you don't need to wish for $5 or hope for it. It's for things you don't have. But if we hope for what we see not, then do we have patience to wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for the way that we should. We don't even understand. That's why Larry says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Because we don't even know what to pray for. If you were to pray right now, what would you pray for? What would we pray for? What would we pray for? We don't even know. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to thy will be done. And we know, folks, that all things work together for good. Stop. Not that everything's good. Not that everything's good. That this coronavirus is not good. But it will work together for good to those of us who love God. To those of us who are called according to our purpose. This is his purpose. Called to. It's going to work out good if you're walking the walk that you're supposed to be walking for your purpose. It's going to work out good. It's all going to be good. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of the Son, that he might be the firstborn of how many? Many brothers. Jesus just isn't my Lord. He's my brother.
Hey, Coach.
Oh, yeah.
Your instincts were right. When you started verse 16 of chapter 8, It says, for as many, it says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, all of you folks sitting out there in the satanic social clubs, if you do not know the moment and the instant that the Spirit of God spoke to your inner man spirit, saying, you are my child, because the Bible says his spirit will bear that witness with your spirit. If you haven't had that experience, get in your Bible and start figuring out how to make it happen.
Amen. Amen. Moreover, wait a minute, for whom he did foreknew, he also did predestinate. Oh, there's that predestination. To be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, who he called, then he also called. And then if he called you, then he also justified you. And if he justified you, then he also glorified you. What shall we say to these things? Hey, dudes, if God's for us, ain't no virus going to be against us. Ain't no financial collapse that's going to be against us. If God's for us, who can be against us? Who can? For he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us. How shall he not with us also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? What are they going to accuse you of? God justifies, not the media, not your pastor. God justifies. Who is it that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yet rather rose again, who's even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Hey, look at that word. Not what. Not what shall separate us from the love of Christ, but who shall separate us from the love of God. He says, who shall separate us? And then he talks about things. He talks, says who, and then he says tribulation. That's not a thing. Distress. That's not a who. Persecution. That's not a who. Famine. That's not a who. Nakedness. That's not a who. No, but it's who's that bring all those things. Who shall separate us from all these things by bringing these things to us? Who's going to be able to do that? As it's written, for thy sake we're killed all day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. We're already dead men, but no, baby, in all these things, right in the middle of the coronavirus calamity, in that middle, in the middle of all those things, we're more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors. That virus ain't got no hold on me, for I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor viruses, nor governments, nor dollars, none of that stuff, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's time for the church to be the church. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow.